from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. They get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Yiner Diaz.
Yiner hits one high. Ball game over. Jordan sent something to Yiner on his way back to the dugout, and Yiner crushed one for the winner.
Hey, bartender, I need a little extra in this one. What a beautiful Yiner bomb.
Yeah, that was fun last night, man. Well, it was fun at the end.
It was a tough watch for
us. It was fun, and as long as the Astros had won, you can think, oh, those four errors that the Astros had while Kikuchi was pitching made for a more interesting game.
It was a tough watch for about 2.5 hours, to the point where I actually had a few people reach out to me and say, hey, even if they win, I don't even know if you can ask the people when you get in at 6 o'clock. Even if they win, this has been so sloppy, I don't know if you can ask the people, have you heard the good news? And I said, you may be right, faithful listener, loyal tweeter, Xer, whatever you are, you may be right. But when Yiner walks it off, man, and the key here, Seth, when the Mariners lose shutout style to the Dodgers 3-0, and the Astros now have a 5-game lead. The Astros, as I look at the standings right now, they now sit closer to the Yankees with the best record in the American League than the Mariners, who have the second best record in the American League West. So I can ask the people, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? The Astros are up 5 now in
up
the American League West.
In the AL West. Well, playing an assortment of minor leaguers and
guys, dude.
That first baseman who are catchers. And
that should not be discounted. They are kind of doing this and have been doing this,
right,
especially in the rotation, with a little bit of spackle and toothpaste duct tape.
Yeah. But with also with Yiner, your first baseman, which it was hard. There was a play last night where Yiner had no choice but to come off the bag because he's
short.
He's not your typical first baseman, and couldn't field a throw, an errant throw from Altuve in time to get his foot back on the bag.
Yeah.
Those were as one of the errors, of the four that we're talking about. But Yiner comes up huge, almost gets it up onto the train tracks there on a walk-off after, as you heard Callis say, Jordan gave a little something to Yiner on his way to the plate.
Yeah, Jordan struck out on 3 pitches against Kenley Jansen, and they said something to each other, and Yiner hit that home run, I think, on the first pitch.
Yeah.
And he pointed his bat over at the dugout.
Look, presumably at Jordan himself.
Yeah, say, thank you, buddy.
So in hindsight, it's nice that that Jordan struck out. Because Jansen, a pitcher who the Astros have historically just owned. I get so excited when Jansen comes out onto the mound.
As you should, as an Astros fan.
He has that look on his face almost like, I know my fate. I know, I'm going to the
guillotine. These guys know exactly what's coming.
Yeah.
Not even a trash can thing.
Yeah. And there you have it. So it was a really good victory after some sloppy fielding. You missed Bregman last night, but ultimately doesn't matter for last night.
It sounds weird to say because they had four errors in the game, but these are the types of wins good teams get, man. Mm-hmm. They brought their C-minus game last night and they beat a good baseball team. The Red Sox are a playoff contender right now, even though they can't beat the Astros. They cannot find a way to beat the Astros. Astros 4-0 against them now on the season. That was cool to see, and I think, probably aside from Yiner's home run and aside from what Yiner has turned into this year, he's leading the team in RBIs this year, and he's been fantastic. This was Kikuchi's most impressive outing for me so far, and he's had four good ones. Mm-hmm. He hasn't made it six innings yet. He's made it 5 2/3 three times and 5 1/3 another time. So for whatever reason, he can't get to six innings. His pitch count gets up. I think he threw 97 pitches last night. So that it made sense to pull him when they did. Of course, Taylor Scott comes in and gives up a 2-run homer, so it didn't work. But the Kikuchi that his teammates put him in so many rough spots last night, and he was still able to go out and do what he did and have a solid outing, I thought was pretty impressive.
The really cool thing was on a night where they have four fielding errors while he's out there, he makes a brilliant play at home where he gloves the ball and just shovels it out of his glove to the catcher and make the play at home.
That was big.
Very very non-Framber-like in his fielding.
Yes.
That was beautiful.
Yep.
And that's all right. Boy, I like Kikuchi. I am so far happy to be 100% wrong about being skeptical of this trade.
Me too.
Now it's long term, et cetera, et cetera. He's just a rental, but you can very much see, okay, if this team with all of its minor league call ups and all of the other issues that it's had, if they can pitch their way to glory for this year, then that was the appropriately aggressive move.
Yes.
Luis Garcia not coming back up. Not in this calendar year.
Not coming back.
But Justin Verlander likely.
Verlander will come back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a few things to unpack here.
I don't want to say for sure until I see it.
Yeah. It'll be Wednesday if and when it happens for Verlander. So here's Espada. Let's not jump off the game quite yet. Let's get to Espada on Kikuchi's performance last night.
Credit to Kikuchi. He kept making pitches. He got two big double plays, one in the third, one in the fourth. He didn't let those mistakes affect him, and he got big outs when he needed to, and our offense just kept pushing, and we just kept getting big at-bats, big hits.
The two double plays were massive in the third and fourth innings. Those were the third inning was to get the first two outs. The fourth inning got him out of the inning. Those were big last. Like, so as bad as they were defensively, there were some things that happened that helped get him out of trouble.
And the other thing, too, as much as we talk about Kikuchi's embracing all of the analytics and the environment on the pitching staff and everything, one of our listeners pointed this out last week, and he was correct. It's, we probably need to mention just how good typically the Astros fielding is. And even last night, even last night where they had so many errors, it was really good fielding also that helped bail Kikuchi out.
Big time.
They're as of a couple days ago, last time I checked it, they're the second best fielding team in baseball.
Yeah.
So that matters. So a pitcher comes in here and not only does he get the benefit of the analytics, the advice from other guys, all of that, but he's got really good fielding behind him too.
Yeah.
Except for those four times.
Yeah, I think, and people are probably going to have to get used to Yiner at first base. I know that error was tough to watch last night. Yiner doesn't look like your classic first baseman, and it came back to roost. Caratini was 3-for-3 last night. His batting average is up to .290. If the outfield keeps hitting the way it is, like they brought up Trey Cabbage. They sent down Leon and brought up Cabbage last night. It's like they're scratching two sticks together in some ways until Tucker comes back. And Tucker took batting practice yesterday. We should mention that. But, Trey Cabbage is abysmal. And Chaz got a big hit last night. It was a little looper to right field. They manufactured that run in the eighth, which was huge. So, give Chaz credit for that. Came in, got a base hit. And Dubon gets the big RBI to tie the game up. Chaz had a stolen base to get into scoring position. They were able to manufacture a run with the 7 and 8 spots in the order after Myers grounded into a double play in the eighth inning. But they don't have good hitting in the outfield right now, so they're going to have to find ways to creatively keep Yiner's bat in the lineup all the time, which would be the DH spot in first base. And when you have him at first base or DH, you can have Caratini back there at catcher. And it's not like Caratini's Mike Piazza or anything like that,
no.
But he's batting .290 on the season right now. He's a capable major league hitter, which you cannot say right now about Jake Myers, Trey Cabbage, Any number of guys they've trotted out in the outfield.
This is where I'm allowing myself to not be baseball nerdy with Caratini. In that, all right, you might say right now he's got an 808 OPS, the best OPS plus of his career by far. He's at 128. He's never been above 105 before. But if you look at him, his rookie year, he is 23 years old, and really for the past 4 years, he's gotten a little bit better each year. So I don't know what he ends the season at or whatnot, but I do think that there is just the potential that he's just steadily gotten a little bit better at the plate every year.
Yeah,
and then
for
maybe
sure.
Being the Astros organization too has helped him. So does he end up as an 808 OPS guy or not? I don't know, but I think he might actually be a genuinely above average hitter as a catcher, which is a really nice thing to have on your team.
Which is better than what they're putting out in the outfield right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about mixing and matching spots in the lineup, you know? So Caratini 3-for-3 last night. Yeah, I mean, as bad as they were defensively, they got a lot of contributions offensively last night. Jordan had 3 hits. Pena did some good things out on the base paths out there. Caratini 3-for-3, and then Yiner with the big home run, and Dubon with the big RBI in the 8th. So good team win last night for the Astros. You mentioned Verlander. We expect him back on Wednesday this week. He felt good when he woke up on Monday morning after the bullpen.
He slept on it right. That's just a pro right there.
It is,
sleeping
man.
Properly so yep. He doesn't end up being out for multiple days.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Here's Joe Espada pregame on Justin Verlander.
Yeah, he'll start on Wednesday.
Will he be on any sort of a pitch count? I know he only got up to 57 in his last rehab start.
Yeah, you know what? We'll see how the outing goes and how efficient he is. I don't want to put a number because he can surprise us. But we're going to keep a close eye on his workload for sure.
Air to the side of conservative
side of caution.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Yeah, I guess. I mean, part of it with Verlander is. Yeah, I think he's the consummate professional, and you trust him to tell you how he's feeling and everything. You know, you don't have to worry about Verlander typically, I think, letting his ego take over or something. He's going to be honest about how he feels. But I also worry that even if his ego isn't the problem, it's just that maybe he hasn't adjusted to being at the age he is.
Yeah.
Remember when he was doing the interview a couple weeks ago from the dugout, and he said he feels the same as he ever has? That actually made me a little bit nervous because obviously, the signs of aging are starting to catch up to him. He's gotten injured way more often, and it's affected him. So, yeah, I think that Espada might have to just be the adult in the room if the pitch count's getting up, but Verlander feels really good. Just like, all right, man, I know, I appreciate it, but listen, Grandpa, you're getting up there in years. You gotta give up the keys to the Maserati. We're gonna take this slow, okay?
These are conversations that have to be had today with Verlander, not tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like they've got to go in with an understanding with him. I think
I'm not going to be satisfied unless Verlander, unless Espada actually has to physically grab Verlander and usher him off the mound.
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to get ejected for bumping
half
up his own player,
walking him off.
Well, not a half Nelson, half ear. Nelson from the left side, maybe.
Okay, yeah. Whatever, with the opposite side of wherever he hurt his neck. And then Bregman took ground balls yesterday afternoon. I only saw a video of him taking ground balls, not throwing over to first base. Here's a quick update from Espada on Alex Bregman.
He hit. He took ground balls, and he's asking, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. No, he's just hitting cages. He took some ground balls. So we'll see how he feels. And before you guys ask me if he's available or not, I got to say how he feels. And we go from there.
Okay. So, and there was some question last night as the game wore on, because at one point in the game, at the end of the game, Espada had emptied his bench other than Bregman.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of mystery. There's a lot of, I had Twitter open during the game, and there was a lot of back and forth. Like, okay, if they need to do something, if they need a pinch hitter or somebody gets hurt or whatever, like, you know, Bregman, he's the last guy standing on the bench.
Yeah.
They didn't need him last night, fortunately.
Right.
So it worked out.
I wonder if, with Bregman, I'm not worried about the Astros being dodgy about it or anything. I think this is one of those, like, just mysterious injuries that they're not quite sure about. If they put him on the IL but then claimed that there was no big deal, then I'd start to wonder what the heck's up.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we are off and running on a Tuesday, 713-572-4610.
Good job with the name, Sean.
Thank you. I said the name. I got the day.
Or the,
right.
The day.
The day.
I got the actual word wrong.
Yeah.
I got the common noun wrong.
Yep. All right. The Texans have a bunch of guys who have been injured in camp here for the last couple weeks. What's our concern level for these guys for the Texans' sake and for their own sake? We're going to run through these as the Texans resume practice tomorrow, practice with the Rams on Thursday, and then the game with the Rams on Saturday. And today is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. We're giving away Texans tickets in the 7 o'clock hour.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth and I are sitting here having a chalk talk, just two football guys chopping it up about line play.
Yeah,
you know.
Good job. You had a good attention span on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I gave you a 2.5-minute video of one of the failed run plays, one of the four failed run plays that the starting offense had yesterday. And it was just a good illustration of how it's not just Damien at all. It's the offensive line also. And there's a lot going on in the run game right now that concerns me.
Yeah.
And I think that, so my current feeling about it is that it's not always Damien's fault, but also Damien hasn't shown the ability to make something out of nothing the way some guys would. The play I just showed you, I feel like Cam Akers could have bounced it outside and beaten one defender.
Yeah.
But the offensive line also is getting handled completely and totally on that play. Like every single one of them was getting handled. So there's issues afoot.
Yeah, that's concerning, man.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
I'd like to have an elite offense, but not with your offensive line playing in the run game like this.
No.
Or your fullbacks, or lack thereof. Because various fullbacks / tight ends who were playing fullback in that game were awful at it, too.
So, I saw some people yesterday, like, they don't need to keep a fullback. They'll just keep Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover, and they can run them out there fullback. I'm like, did you watch them?
Yeah. They're not actually good at it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That's the thing I'm nervous about. It was what really held the offense back last year, and right now I don't see a lot of evidence that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, there are some things in that game where game planning might have helped. The Giants do some play their Mike linebacker a little bit differently than most teams typically do. So I think the offensive line, without having the scouting report on that and watching it all week, maybe just were a little bit off in some of their assignments and their angles. I'm not panicking, because game planning ideally should have fixed some of that, and they just don't really. I know they were going through a normal week last week, but you usually still don't. You don't include heavy scouting of the opponent in that, because
right.
Which I disagree with. I feel like teams should, because there's some guys that just play better when they have the scouting report.
Yeah.
You know, like the smarter guys tend to do better when they can just really dial in on the opponent. And but it is what it is.
And that'll be up on your YouTube channel at some point.
At some point. Today.
Seth Payne YouTube channel. Concern level over some of these injuries. And I don't have them stack ranked here or anything like that. I just put them in the order they came to mind. And it's hard for Christian Harris not to be the first one that comes to mind. He's practiced for a total of about 8 minutes this training camp. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But he was out there for part of one practice.
Right.
And then had to go back inside. And he's one who's only been even out at practice a small portion of the time so far. Concern level right now over Christian Harris and whatever it is he's dealing with.
I would say 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
7 out of 10, because it's lingered so long. Now you start to get into that weird portion of soft tissue injuries where, what if it isn't? What did Aaron Wilson report? It was a quad?
It was a calf.
A calf. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was way off. So,
well, the first one might have been a quad. The first one was reported as a soft tissue injury, just in general.
Right.
And then when he had to leave practice that day, the subsequent report was a calf.
Yeah, so you start wondering is that the same soft tissue injury that he had to begin with?
Right.
I start worrying about stuff like sports hernias and everything when guys are just having an ongoing issue. But that's maybe I'm just being a worrywart.
My concern is that's a position where you can't afford to give up high-performing bodies out there,
right?
Which he is.
If you want this to be an elite defense, and if you go back to what they had in San Francisco, one of the things that drove that elite defense when DeMeco was there was that you had two really good, athletic, rangy linebackers behind that defensive line. And they don't have anybody on the team that's quite like Christian Harris.
Right.
You know?
Right. I'm with you on that one. I'm very concerned about Christian Harris, particularly short-term here, you know, just with... You know, with week one's a couple weeks away.
Yeah, at the very least, even if he's 100% healthy by week one, he hasn't had that time working next to Alshire. And whatever veteran leadership you're hoping that Alshire can convey to Christian Harris, it's had to have all been in the film room at this point. But Christian Harris hasn't been building that muscle memory and working alongside of him.
Will Anderson has missed a bunch of time lately with an ankle. And I guess... we haven't had a chance to ask Will or anybody which ankle it is, and I don't know they would answer even if we did. We've seen Will out at practice working out. At the walkthrough on Thursday, Will was out there kind of joking with the media and stuff, so he's in a good mood, but I feel like he's in a good mood all the time. My only concern about Will Anderson's injury is that it's an ankle, and if it's the same ankle, is this one of these Steph Curry things where it's an ankle that's lingering for a while?
Right, right. Is it going to take as long as it did for Steph Curry to figure it out? It was the first few years of his career that he was having consistent ankle issues before whatever regiment he worked his way into kept him healthy.
Yep.
As great as Steph Curry is, the physical challenges placed on the ankles of Will Anderson are greater. In terms of force and everything else.
Well, that shin bend that he talks about,
shin angle,
right?
Baby.
Shin angle, yeah.
Shin angle, you need ankle flexion. And that's what he's working on, better shin angle, getting all that ankle flexion.
Yeah.
That it can be his Achilles heel. Very, very close to the actual Achilles. His Achilles heel could be his ankle.
I'm like a 4 on Will Anderson, like out of 10.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your Achilles. Whatever your Achilles is.
No, that's okay. I'm sure that thing's ready to go anytime.
You're at the age. Don't pick up rec league basketball.
No, dude, the elliptical. Okay. I stick with the elliptical, baby. Yeah, Will, that's my biggest concern with Will and the ankle, is it a lingering thing?
Yeah.
Joe Mixon has played very little in the preseason, in practice very little. What's your concern level about Joe Mixon?
He's probably the one I'm least concerned about. I think as a veteran running back who's played in a very similar scheme to this one, and because of the nature of the position he plays, you're going to be really careful with him. So I don't look at him the same way I look at Christian Harris. I think that you know, there's just zero reason to put your starting running back at risk, especially behind that blocking right now. So
dude, I can see. I know they didn't do this, but I could see, like, at the beginning of camp, they're like, "Hey, look, man, we may have some trouble blocking there. You know what you're doing in this offense,
yeah.
All right? So, like, by the second practice, about the time we're ready to put on pads, you're going to have a quad injury.
Yeah.
And just hang out. Just chill. You may need a couple days in the catapult vest just to make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
But
let's get this
the truth of the
right
matter
before
is,
we throw you out
yeah,
there.
The truth of the matter is we need to see what Damian is before we start giving you all these reps.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, so where I'm torn on this, where if Mixon were in there, I think Mixon has the ability to turn some of the plays that Damian had that are one-yard gains into larger gains. The same way Cam Akers can take bad blocking and bounce it outside and make something of it. There was a play in the game on Saturday where the blocking was not right. Damian made the right read, but I just don't think he has the physical alacrity to bounce it outside the way Cam Akers can. So he ended up getting lassoed by Kayvon Thibodeau, who had his way with Kenyon Green. Just had the defensive end's dream of he both bounced the play out. Kayvon Thibodeau bounced the play outside and then made the play outside.
Yeah.
And I don't think Cam Akers would have gotten caught up the way that Damian Pierce did. But again, it's complicated with Damian. It wasn't good blocking. The defensive line knew what play was coming.
Yeah.
They called it out beforehand.
They
pointed to Kenyon Green. They knew he was pulling. And they textbook shut it down.
God,
yeah,
what a horrible feeling that's got to be. It's an offensive lineman.
Oh, sorry, no, it's
not for the defensive
it's awesome.
Lineman. It's Nirvana. I'm talking from Kenyon's perspective.
The defensive tackle points at Kenyon. The Mike linebacker looks at Kenyon. Kayvon Thibodeau puts his hands up, and they read
it. Just because of the way he's lined up, or the
usually
way he's
with
kinda
a guard, it's that you can tell their splits are a little bit deeper. They're a little bit deeper. I don't want to get too complicated.
Right.
All of the alignments and the splits look like you had a pulling guard coming to you. And then sometimes you see it on film beforehand. Sometimes you're not quite sure, but then you get it field level and you just know. You're like, oh, yep, that guy's coming for me.
Yep.
And then all the defensive linemen just played their blocks perfectly. Damian made the right read, but again, I think other backs may have been able to turn it into something.
One more injured guy I want to get to, because the rest of them on this list I think are fringe guys who are in danger of losing their jobs. But Noah Brown is an interesting one to me, because I think at the beginning of camp everybody had him or Mechie as the number four guy, but both of them making the team.
Yeah.
And we know Mechie's saga has been very up and down. I think at this point Mechie's making the team. We'll see how it plays out over the rest of the preseason. I'm fascinated by the people who are just still putting Noah Brown on the 53-man roster on this team.
Yeah, yeah.
As if he's got a spot. Like, there's a lot of people doing that, and I'm going, look, he's missed a lot of time in this training camp. He was injured a lot last season. Now, he played through some of it, which is admirable. He's a one-year, $4 million guy. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like he's got some contract where you're like, okay, well, he's making the team. They gave him 3 years, $34 million.
Right,
Aziz Alshire had not practiced at all in training camp, he's making the team.
Yeah.
They gave him a big contract. You know, Danico Autry, other guys they signed. Noah Brown is a back of the roster contract. Where are you on this? Noah Brown is in some jeopardy.
I think that the Texans really like John Mechie. I think that they see upside in him. I think in a lot of ways they're looking at him almost like a rookie because of his 2-year ordeal, kind of, I don't want to say completely recovering from cancer. You have to stay vigilant.
Yeah.
But that they still like the upside. They were probably waiting to see it really click. I don't know if it hadn't clicked for him on Saturday. I don't know that means that they would have cut him, but I think that they're gonna go with youth in this regard.
Yeah. Now, they may both make it, Noah Brown and John Mechie. They may both make it. I'm just fascinated by the people that are just putting Noah Brown in ink right now.
Right.
On the 53.
I think Skoranek is a dicey one because I don't think that they really... I think he is what he is as a receiver, and he's a versatile guy. Boy, I know the V word is a dirty word around here, going back to Bill O'Brien, versatility. This is the other problem with the run game right now. Them trying anybody at everybody at fullback/H-back it's not working out so hot.
No.
And the fullback position itself, I mean, Beck has barely played at all this preseason. There was a really bad whiff by the fullback on one of those run plays. Like a really bad
was
one.
Was it Beck or was it somebody else?
I thought it was Harrison. Yeah. I want to go back and check.
Yeah.
It's not good. So, like, some of the stuff they want to do where you're supposed to be physically moving guys and road grading, like the old gap scheme blocking that they do, they just don't do a good job of it at any level of the offense.
Yeah.
And the fullback, they line up in positions. This is where it feels like Bill O'Brien's offense. They line up, like, they're like, yeah, we're going to have a fullback and two tight ends, and we're going to take it. Ow! Ow! Ow!
Hey!
Uncle!
Hey!
Uncle!
How is that hurt?
It's like the guy that, you know how you're watching a kung fu movie and you start imagining yourself that you're doing all that stuff, and then you start to maybe think that you actually can do that, all that stuff, and then the bouncer throws you 8 yards off out of the bar into the gutter. Yeah.
That's the fullback on the Texans.
You get down into your stance, your kung fu stance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all of a sudden you're like, ow!
Hey!
I'm like Verlander with a neck injury.
So those are some of the injured guys I'm interested in. Did you see, shifting gears for 1 second here, did you see J.J. Watt tweet out a picture of a weight room and a practice field
ago? I did not at all.
He tweeted this out a couple days ago. Just tweeted it out. No caption, no nothing. Just a picture of a weight room and an end zone at a practice field, which looks to be the Steelers, because there's a big Steelers logo in the weight room there. So he's obviously he's visiting TJ. It was funny. I was listening to the new In the Loop yesterday with our new coworker, our new friend here, Reginald Atatula. They sounded great, by the way. He and John and Figgy sounded awesome. That Reggie brought up that tweet. I'm like, oh, this is your welcome back to Houston moment. Where he's like, oh, I wonder if. What could this mean? J.J. Watt's coming back. I'm like, I'm at home watching their show on YouTube. I'm like, nah, Reggie, this happens all the time with J.J. J.J. teases us like once every 3 weeks.
If there's one thing that J.J. knows, it's the social media game.
He
was a pioneer in that regard.
Yeah.
One of the first athletes to truly capitalize on the power of social media.
Right. I like where your head's at, Reggie.
Yeah.
I like your energy, but just know that this happens all the time with J.J.
Yeah, it really has gotten. It's not to the point where I've gotten tired of it or anything. I think partly is that I'm really happy with the current defensive line, especially when Autry comes back.
Yeah.
That it's not at a fevered pitch. Now, if the Texans hadn't gone out and gotten Autry and Danielle Hunter, and if other guys on the team hadn't played so well last year, Barnett specifically, then I might be more eager for it.
Yeah.
But now I'm just kind of like, all right, well, we'll see what happens.
If it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We've got headlines coming up next. A big win for the Astros last night. They brought their C-minus game, and they managed to win a baseball game last night. So Yiner walked it off. You'll hear what that sounded like. Texans, an extension to one of their important leaders on defense. We'll get to that as well. And some news around the NFL, including never do this on an international flight. Ever, ever, ever. We will have that for you.
Can't I once?
No. A lot of things you can do, Seth. This all is right. Not one of them. No. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Mauricio's had some big hits for the Astros.
As he lines one into left field, this could tie the game. Here comes Chaz. No throw. We're tied up at four. Doobie does it again.
Doobie.
Here's Yiner Diaz.
Yiner hits one high. Ball. Game over. Jordan sent something to Yiner on his way back to the dugout, and Yiner crushed one for the winner.
Hey, bartender! I need a little extra in this one. That was a beautiful Yiner bomb.
That was Jeff Blum and Todd Callis on the call. Mauricio Dubon, an RBI single in the eighth inning, ties the game. Yiner Diaz, a walk-off home run in the ninth inning, so we didn't have to deal with extra innings or anything like that. Josh Hader gets the win. He came in the ninth inning for the Astros, and it was tied. Astros now 5 games up in the American League West, and I guess the highest compliment I can pay to that win last night, actually 2 compliments I'll pay to that win last night. One, props to Yusei Kikuchi for not blowing his stack as his teammates behind him were bad news bearing their way through that game last night with 4 errors. Kikuchi did a really nice job of making sure that the Astros, you know, that they
that they didn't have to pay for all those errors, or most of them,
including a brilliant defensive play too.
Yeah,
where he just scooped the ball with his glove to Caratini to make a play at home on a fielder's choice. It was great. It was really Kikuchi's been, I guess, everything he could have hoped for, except maybe going a little bit longer into games. But right now, they're on a stretch where they tend to be winning these games anyway, so it's not as big a deal.
Getting a lot of strikeouts?
Yeah. Now, you are going to a six-man rotation here soon, which means you're going to have one less reliever while also not having Presley out there. So Kikuchi going a little deeper into games would be a nice thing.
It would be nice. Yeah, you're right. And those 2 7-inning games they had over the weekend really helped with Framber and Hunter Brown going seven. So that really helped. At no point last night did I feel like that was a game the Astros deserved to win, and they won it. And that's the other compliment I would give them. Like, they're finding ways to win games where they're just a disaster in the field last night.
Yiner was thrown out at home. Yordan was thrown out at home.
Yeah.
Slid. And Sean always gets petrified whenever Yordan slides. This was a particularly dicey one because the catcher...
Were you with me on this one?
I was scared. Because the catcher's foot was on the plate, and... Was it his foot or his knee?
It was his knee.
And Yordan careened into him with his ankle kind of flexing weirdly and everything.
Yeah.
And it popped up.
Yeah. Yeah, he popped right up. I still get, man, still makes me nervous. You know me. I just want Yordan doing one thing. Swinging in a batter's box for the Houston. He didn't even need to run the bases.
Mm-hmm.
He can walk to first or second or whatever as far as I'm concerned. But big win for the Astros.
Would you have felt better if he had barreled into the catcher?
Yes, actually. Yeah. It's his legs that bother. That's what scares me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like an ankle injury, or he's got those, you know, I know it's 4 years removed, but man, he's a guy who's had surgery on both knees.
Yeah,
man,
that's true. You know? If he was the hammer and not the nail in that instance.
Yeah, I'm fine with him, like, lowering his shoulder.
I know Blumenkale's got into a big argument about whether it should have been blocking the plate or not. But at the very least, it would have been illegal by Yordan if there had been a collision, because the catcher was on the plate.
Yeah. Yep. Here was Joe Espada on the emotion in the dugout after Dubon tied the game in the eighth.
Yeah, you know, we cheer for Mac. We all love Mac, and he's trying to figure some things out, and we were all really happy for him. You know, as a team, we all, you know, want our guys to succeed, and he's been one of those guys that been scuffling a little bit, so we were happy that he was able to contribute and help us win the game.
Okay, that's something. I learned something new. I didn't know Mauricio Dubon's nickname was Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Mauricio Dubai whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's
Mauricio,
a little,
Dubai is his actual nickname.
It's a little more respectful than Captain Mickey.
But people got nervous because, you know, they're like, oh, wait a second, you're referencing a foreign country. Is this going to be perceived as something that we should get canceled for or whatever?
That was cool to see in the eighth inning last night, because Jake Myers had just grounded into a double play, so they had nobody on with two out. Chaz gets a little flare to right field, gets on base, steals second.
Mm-hmm.
They manufactured a run.
That's
in the
right, manufacturing.
The bottom of the order.
Everybody thought manufacturing was dead in America, and then all of a sudden,
supply chain
resurgence.
And all.
Right,
yeah,
manufacturing is back with the Astros.
That's it.
We're saving America with small ball, Sean. A return to all. This is my election. This is my election campaign. My campaign theme. We're restoring traditional values with small ball.
And Mac.
Yes.
Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Texans, quickly here. Jimmy Ward extended for another year after this year.
Yeah.
Tacked on another year to Jimmy Ward's deal. According to Aaron Wilson, I saw a tweet this. A little over $5 million in new money. They guarantee a total of nearly $9 million over this year and next year. So Jimmy Ward will be back in 2025.
It saves about $500,000 or so on the cap. It doesn't look like, according to Texans cap, if I recall properly. And
this feels like they just want Jimmy Ward around.
It feels like they want Jimmy Ward around.
There's no gymnastics here.
Right. I didn't know if it somehow, does this have anything to do with the Jeffrey Simmons signing? I don't know.
Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons as well. Yes, but Jeffrey Simmons.
I would take Jeffrey Simmons in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, but the Justin Simmons signing. But I don't know. It doesn't really move the meter for me. Other than that, I almost feel like one of the things that's been more aggressive than the actual marquee signings for the Texans is evidence that they're all in, is that they've made some of these deals with veteran players, like extending Joe Mixon's deal, lopping off the rest of Stephon Diggs' contract. That almost feels like, look, yeah, we'll just give some overtures to the older guys. Whatever. Let's get this thing done.
Yeah, maybe. I just like that as long as he's healthy, fingers crossed. Yeah. I like that. You know, Jimmy Ward's when he was on the field, he was a productive player for the Texans last year.
Some violence in the preseason game the other night.
Yeah,
too.
Dude, he's violent in practice. He's violent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that hit Diggs when the little kerfuffle started up with Stingley and Schultz.
Yeah,
remember that was Jimmy Ward. Remember Jimmy Ward drilling Dalton Schultz on a crossing route in camp two years ago?
There's definitely more swarm mentality on the defense right now than there is on the offense.
Yes.
I know Laremy Tunsil likes to call everybody a dog. There's just more dogs on the defense.
Big time.
Like, they've got genuine dogs on the defense.
Yeah.
The offense, they're making a show of it right now. The passing game looks like it has a whole lot of potential. When it comes to the physicality side of things, they are very lacking.
Yes. Like,
if you want to be the San Francisco 49ers offense, they are full of dogs.
Maulers.
They are full of maulers and guys that want to kick your butt. The offense hasn't played that way yet on the physical. Now, the biggest dogs on your team, this is an issue last year, are your wide receivers. Those guys do. They get after it as blockers. Very few of the other guys that are like whose sole job is blocking are doing that.
Yeah,
right now,
yeah.
In the run game.
No, I'm with you on that. All right, we got to get this story in. This is making the rounds yesterday. Former Colts and Boston College offensive lineman Gajdar Chehrilis. As you pointed out to me yesterday, Seth, at one point, the highest paid offensive lineman in football.
Yeah, old Ryan Grigson brought him in and paid him big time. Lasted 2 years with the Colts.
Yeah. He was forced off a Delta flight from Boston to Dublin, Ireland, mm-hmm. about an hour into the flight. They had to turn around and go back an hour into the flight. They had to go back to Boston because at some point, and this flight was taking off in the middle of the night, according to Chehrilis, at like 12:30 a.m. it took off. And he was, I guess, being ornery with the staff from the time he sat down. There were issues with where he was sitting, and he was chippy the whole time. Well, at one point, he got up, walked into the aisle, whipped it out, peed on an elderly lady who didn't seem
to... It was
an elderly lady.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Clearly, she wasn't into it.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
They hadn't set this up on Instagram beforehand or something.
Yeah, so they had to turn the flight around, go back to Boston. Chehrilis got arrested as soon as
they forced him off the plane.
He did not go quietly into the night.
Remember, this is a former NFL offensive tackle
who's now super skinny. He went that direction.
Getting popular these days.
He looks like a small forward. The article said 6'6", 280. There's no way he's 280. Uh-huh. He's like skinny now. He claims he was on medication because the flight was sitting there for hours.
Yeah.
So he had to take some sleep medication that he doesn't normally take, and this is what caused him to act so erratic.
Well, back when I would take Ambien when I was younger. And I did some weird stuff that I had no memory of. Not like this, but like conversations with people and everything. It gives you amnesia, especially if you mix it with alcohol. It's really, really dangerous. Yeah. And I'm always amazed at these people who take red eyes that just pop an Ambien as soon as they get on the flight. Man, you got to know what your behavior is like before you do that. Don't do it for the first time when you're on a transcontinental flight.
No.
So if that is the explanation.
Dude, I would be so pissed if I was on that flight.
Oh, I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to turn around and go back.
Right.
A former Colt is peeing on people in the aisle.
Former Ryan Grigson signing.
Can you imagine if they got into that level of detail?
Elderly ladies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the pilot. I've got some bad news. A poor signing by the Colts back in 2013 just peed all over an elderly lady. We're going to have to go back to Boston.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I believe him.
Yeah.
I believe his story because he has no history or arrest record or anything. I don't think he was ever known as a guy that's erratic.
And he looked like I saw a video of him coming out of the courtroom because they arrested him, brought him, and arraigned him right away. I saw a video. He's dressed in a nice suit. Like he looked like he was on a business trip. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So and nobody in a suit ever just takes drugs and start acting erratically.
Acts improperly.
Right. By the way. Thank you, text page. Mac, he was referring to as Chaz.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. So there
you
go. That does. Although Mac is kind of a cool name, like a shortening of Mauricio.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, but I kind of like it.
Unless his name was Mauricio.
Fair. All right. So thank you, text page, for setting me straight on Mac. All right. Payne and Pendergast. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits. And still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. Up next, we head into the 7 o'clock hour. All right, we have a two-hour show on Monday, so a lot of you didn't get to hear what we liked and didn't like. What are the things that Seth is bullish on, and what are the things that have him going Gosner chairless right now for the Houston Texans? That is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.